Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to the Godless Pastor Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. My name is Billy Crocker, and I am excited for the show tonight. I do want to let you know that we are having a few technical issues. First of all, I just found out as I was trying to set all this up for this episode that apparently the scheduling of the podcast episodes was set up on California time and on the East Coast. And so I was basing it off of being on the East Coast. Shout out to any listeners out there in California, because Blog Talk, I guess, really likes you guys. So there was an assumption there, I guess, that it was on California time. And so I just now got that sorted. And so what I ended up having to do is, right now on the Godless Pastor podcast page on Blog Talk Radio, there is a link still to a later show a few hours from now. I will, once I'm done with this, I had to make sure that I had all this set up. I will, when I'm done with this, I will cancel that episode. I obviously will not do that because it's the show that we're doing now. I am going to have my wife with me. Funny thing about this is parenting. That's what we're talking about tonight. And so we're having a fun time with that tonight. And so we're having a tag team a couple things this evening. We want to make sure that we keep you guys waiting. She's going to be joining us here in just a second. First of all, I just want to start off by saying Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there, certainly to my wife and to all the other mothers out there, my own mom. And mother-in-law, and so those are just a couple women in my life that I just wanted to give a special shout-out to, and of course, anybody else that's out there that is celebrating Mother's Day today. And also, you know, I realize that not everyone that celebrates Mother's Day is a mom to human babies, so I know that there's several mamas out there for fur babies, and I don't want to discount that either. We have our own fur baby ourselves, and as much as we love our human kiddos, we certainly love our fur baby as well. I just wanted to make mention of that. So tonight we're going to be talking about fundamentalism, and so basically our fundamentalist thought when it comes to parenting. I've been talking a lot about this over the past couple of weeks and on my blog, my written blog. So I also do a written blog on BillyCrocker.com. And so you can find me there. And I do have a couple things on there that I've talked about in reference to fundamentalism. My background, as I shared before, you know, I was in fundamental religion for most of my teenage years. And that's kind of my background in the Baptist faith. And I kind of had a basis of understanding when it came to dating and marriage and premarital sex and all those sorts of things, gender, homosexuality, all those things were based on this fundamental view of the Bible, the literal translation, obviously, and a infallible, inerrant scripture, which is something that I'm going to actually be talking about tomorrow. And so I'll be doing another blog tomorrow on that, another podcast. And so we'll be talking about the infallibility and the inerrancy of Scripture. We just want to, like I said, kind of go over those things tonight. As far as, where we live, like I said, we're out here on the East Coast. We're living on the south side of the East Coast. And so we do experience fundamentalism where we're at. I grew up in East Texas, which is obviously, you know, the Bible Belt area. That's where I grew up. Even out here in this area where we live, there is a lot of fundamentalism here also. One of the things that we have to deal with now as parents, and we are a mixed belief couple, and so I am an atheist. I believe in evolution entirely. I do not believe that we were created from a God. I do not believe to change in my life. As I shared with you there at the beginning of the show, for the majority of the time, I did believe that it was a God that created us, and that was how we came about. A change in my. We are going to be eating and drinking on this show. I won't tell you what we're drinking. Once again, it's a parenting show, right? So feel free to eat and drink with us. It's been one heck of a day. I do want to give you a guest call in. So if you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions, I'm going to try to be keeping my phone, which I've done misplaced, and so hopefully I can keep find that here in a second, because I do want to keep track of any questions you may have. I'm going to get over here on my Facebook page, facebook.com/godlesspastor, and see if you guys have any questions for me as we're going along, and so or my wife. And anything that you got, any questions you have, you can call in 323-870-4190. Once again, that's 323-870-4190. And so I want to talk to you a little bit before my wife gets on the air with us about my brother. So I have a brother who lives out in California, and so maybe that was I'm the one that was thinking California time because of that. He's very special to me. I don't know him very well because for the past 20 years, he's not really been a part of my life. Not by his choosing, but by the fact that, you know, in my family, there is, you know, that that idea there, that choice of a homosexual lifestyle is something that is the way they look at it, and that if you choose that, then you're not able to be a part of the family. And so I went for a very long time without having him being a part of my life, and that was very hard, very difficult. And so when it comes to, as we're raising our kids, I want to make sure that our children, we have two boys and we have a daughter as well. And so our youngest is a boy, our oldest is a boy, and our middle child is a boy. And so so that right there is what our family makeup is. And so I want our boys and our girl to know that, you know, that wherever they fall in that spectrum, that they would be welcome in our home, that whether they bring home someone of the opposite sex or the same sex, that's something that we're still going to love them, we're still going to care for them. You know, I think, which my wife can speak to this later, I think her concern lies more in the how they might be treated. She's aware that, you know, that a lot of people do judge that very severely, and so she's concerned about those things, which I understand, and I certainly have that level of concern as well also. But my opinion on it, my position on that, you know, is that we need to support them in whatever, wherever they fall in that, you know, wherever it is that they feel like who they should love or whatever, that we would be supportive of that. And they would know that at least at home, they're going to have a supportive voice. And you know, the reality of it is that no matter what life you choose, no matter what you do, there's always a chance that you're going to end up having, you know, people be against you and be judgmental. And so you can't escape that. And so it's kind of my opinion on that. But we're also going to talk about dating, premarital sex, gender, racism, climate change, creationism versus evolution. So we got a lot to get to. My wife has now joined us, as I was sharing with you earlier. You know, it's a show on parenting, and we were dealing with the parenting stuff tonight. So I want to go ahead and, as my wife takes a bite of food, and I've already told them that we were eating and drinking as well at the same time, so we were having to make do. Literally, just as I was about to introduce her, she took a bite of food. So I'll give her a chance to clear her throat there, and then she can go ahead and say hi. So, Molly? So she's not the podcast person, so I really had to encourage her tonight to be with me. She's a little bit shy, but we're gonna be okay. It's gonna be all right. So I'm gonna let her talk a little bit about just her background, as far as, because I think it's a very interesting dynamic as far as where she comes from. I just shared with you about, you know, kind of my fundamental upbringing, the experience I had with my brother, those sorts of things. She doesn't have exactly those, you know, same experiences like that, but she comes from a completely different place. Like I was telling you, she is a Christian. She is a believer in the Christian Bible and in the Christian belief system, but she has a different take on it than what I grew up with. So I'm going to let her speak to that for just a second, just kind of talk about, you know, the lack of fundamentalism that you had in your upbringing, basically, and just kind of speak to that, kind of tell them a little bit about your family and what your belief system was growing up.
So I was brought up in the Methodist Church as an infant. My mom had me baptized as a baby, and till I was about 2 years old, I probably attended the United Methodist Church where my family was living. And then my mom met my stepdad, and he was in the military, and I went to the military chapel a lot, where I never heard extremist fundamental messages.
Such as?
Such as.
Like what bit earlier, like, I want to make sure that they, because, I mean, some people may relate with you and go, yeah, exactly, I don't. So what I'm thinking of, just to make sure that they understand, because from my perspective, like, I was taught that if you didn't accept Jesus as your Savior, that you would go to hell, that there was, you know, that you needed to say a sinner's prayer, in a sense. You had to make a very pointed commitment to Jesus.
Right. And that wasn't... I never got that.
Right. So talk a little bit about that as far as what your understanding of salvation was.
My understanding of salvation was just basically that you knew you believed in Jesus and God, and that he was a part of your life, but I never heard the hellfire and brimstone message that I heard until we got married and I started attending the Baptist churches in the South with you.
Mm-hmm. So tell them a little bit about your family, as far as like just your family makeup, your two brothers.
Yep. So I've got two brothers. They're my half brothers, but they are like my brothers. I don't think of them any differently. My biological dad was an alcoholic, and my mom decided to get me out of that situation because that's not what she wanted for me. That's not what she wanted for her life. She left my biological dad, and then when I was two, she met my stepdad, and he has been my dad ever since. He's been that fatherly figure. My biological dad has since passed away because of his addictions. It ended up taking his life, which is extremely sad, but anyways, we lived all over the country because my stepdad was in the military, so I lived in 8 different states growing up, moved around a lot, met a lot of whole different people from all different walks of life, and my mom and my stepdad are still married 23 years later today, so.
Okay, so she's going to get a couple bites to eat while I talk for a minute on kind of some things that... that she touched on. And one of the reasons why I wanted her to tell you her background as far as like moving around and stuff like that is because for me, you know, my family, I mean, if I look at, for example, my ancestry, I grew up in Northeast Texas. I grew up in a little small town, Hugh Springs, and there's some towns around there, Dangerfield, Marietta, Naples, Omaha, these little small towns. If you look at my ancestry, I mean, everybody from my family on both sides, my mom and my dad's side, are all right there around that area. My dad's side, I have some family that lived out in West Texas and things like that, but a lot of my family, I mean a lot, aunts, uncles, cousins, all lived and grew up right there around the East Texas area. And so, and then for me, that's where I grew up. I was born and raised in that town until I went first I went to Bible school right out of high school because I was going to go be a preacher, and that's a topic for another day. But I went to Bible school, which was a little ways away. It was still in East Texas, but it was about a good hour and a half away from where I was growing up at. And sorry, my dog's trying to eat food out of the trash can. Look at that, it's horrible. She's bad. There's some bread hanging out, and she sees it, and she's trying to get to it. So on his Mother's Day, I need to be reminded I got to go take the trash out later. I grew up in that small town and that small town atmosphere, and so, you know, where everybody knew everybody, and divorce was something, and not marrying the person who you had a baby with, you know, was not something that was, you know, you were supposed to, you know, you had a baby with somebody, you were supposed to get married to them, you know, there was, and I think that was pretty prevalent across most areas back during, you know, you go back 20, 30 years ago, that was something that was pretty common. But religion, you know, is a very deep-seated thing, especially in the South, and it's a very fundamental religion. But what I always found interesting growing up is that, you know, like, for example, for a lot of my family, they are believers in God, but they don't, in my opinion, at least from the way I see it, they don't allow it to dictate everything that they do in life. I have a lot of very neat family members who I love very much, and in that middle 50 to 30 years old to now, you know, once I've kind of come out of all that and gotten a different perspective on things, I looked at that side of my family and I was always confused. And then when I met my wife and her family, kind of the same thing, where I didn't understand how they could be believers in God and not let it dictate everything that they did every single day. That was how I looked at religion. I looked at it in a very, very fundamental, it needed to control every part of your life. every day when you woke up, you needed to be asking, what is it that God wants me to do today? Who is it that he wants me to speak to? Every person that I come across, what is it that I should share with that person? How can I get them to see their need for Jesus? And that evangelistic type mentality was just not something that a lot of my family held to, and it's not something that my wife was aware of, like, that thought process. That just wasn't, you know, something that that she really saw. So the other thing that I want to kind of have you kind of chime in about is on the issue of, like, homosexuality, because I can remember whenever Molly and I met, I was very fundamental in that issue. And I know I mentioned earlier about my brother, but so when I say 20 years, he wasn't a part of my life, I was still fundamental in my beliefs whenever I figured out what happened. Because, see, I didn't know for majority of that time that was the reason why he wasn't in our life, was because, was because of this topic of homosexuality. I was not even aware of that. I thought he left and all that. And so, so then when Molly and I met, I still did not know anything about my brother at that time. And I was very fundamental on that issue. And my parents were, and the church that I went to was, and, you know, that was marriage between a man and a woman. That's the way that it is. You know, you don't associate with those people as far as, like, you know, you wouldn't be friends with them. You're supposed to, you know, love them, but in a I'm going to pray for you kind of way, you know, I'm going to hope that you get out of this sin kind of way, not a, you know, I'm not even thinking about that, like, just treat them like normal people. That was not a thought. No, they were sinners that needed to be saved, and that was how I considered it. And I remember when Molly and I met, she had some friends that were of that lifestyle, and I was very judgmental of that. I said, look, hey, why are you hanging out with these people? I thought you were a Christian kind of deal. So kind of talk about that as far as what, like, did you get any sort of instruction from the military chapel on how you were supposed to be with that? Did your parents have any sort of influence on you over that? I'm not asking you to, like, say anything negative about your parents' views on that or anything like that. But was there any instructions on that? Did you have an understanding of how you were supposed to be and how you were supposed to treat people that were like that?
So basically, the military chapel gets accused a lot of being watered down and having watered down messages. But I was never taught, like, that is wrong, those people are going to hell, you need to, like, prophesize to them and get them to come away from that lifestyle. What I was taught, in essence, was to be loving and to emulate God's love and accepting, even though I might not, you know, agree with their lifestyle, I should never, if that makes sense.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, my mom and dad, they have their views on homosexuality. They don't particularly, you know, agree with it. But their philosophy and our family's philosophy was, like, it's their life. It's not affecting me personally. So who am I to judge and interfere in their life, if that makes sense?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. It makes ton of sense to me anyways. So then what was talk about kind of when you and I met and I shared that with you, once I realized that you had some friends that were homosexual and stuff, how I reacted to that and what that said to you, because I know I was on kind of a different wavelength as far as how I felt about those things. So what was kind of going through your head? Then it kind of sounds like that was the first time that you heard that perspective.
Yeah.
So what was kind of going through your mind?
Well, you know, my friend, I'll call him Jimmy for namesake, but anyways, he was kind of confused why I stopped talking to him and why, you know, I think he felt judged, and I was kind of shocked and upset that, you know, you had thought that he was such a horrible person, because I had known him as this cool, awesome kid, and I couldn't wrap my head around why I should stop interacting with him.
Right.
So...
Okay, so I just kind of want to touch on that, because that's a very, obviously, a hot button issue as far as the way that a lot of people look at those sorts of issues. So now what I kind of want to go into is, so I wanted to kind of just explain the how different we were when we met, and obviously that had a lot to do with our upbringing, the type of religious atmosphere that we were both in as children, as teenagers. You know, I was in a fundamental Baptist church. You were in the military chapel, which is very ecumenical, just meaning that, you know, it had multiple different denominations and different beliefs. And it was a lot more, I think we could say, a lot more spiritual, you know, than ritual even today. I mean, because I can't even remember when I got in the military and I started in the military chapel where I can remember. I remember there was this one chaplain, I want to say maybe his name is Mansky or Mansky. No?
Muninsky,
that was it. Yeah, the head chaplain, the wing chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and remember we went that one time and he brought like a psychology book out
mm-hmm.
instead of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember my jaw about hit the floor. I was like, what in the world? This guy cannot be, he's not using the Bible? What, you know? And I know that for any of our listeners and anybody that's from East Texas, any of my family that is still in that type of church, I know how hard, you probably can be understanding of why my jaw hit the floor, and you may be even thinking, yeah, that...
Bringing iPad to the pulpit was about...
Right, bringing iPad to the pulpit, that was some kind of turn off, because, hey, the written word of God, you know? You had to have that red letter edition, you know? And so I wanted to just kind of express that, you know, just kind of the way that was different for us. And so I think that changed how our viewpoints were growing up. But then, you know, her and I met, and sorry, my dog is stressing me here. So then my wife and I met, and then we had our first child, Tucker. He's our oldest, back in 2010. So he's fixing to be 8 years old, actually, in August. And we have a three-year-old daughter who will be 4 in August. And then we have a one-year-old son, 19, something like that. I'm having a hard time keeping up with it. It's going so fast. He'll be 2 in September. And so I want to kind of talk about on the parenting side of it as far as just how we look at now, especially with me now being an atheist and you still being a Christian at you know, the minimum. And I don't really want to get into this because I want this to stay on the topic of parenting. And so, but, you know, Molly has been able to kind of release some of those fundamentalist thoughts that I brought into our marriage because she was very good at being respectful of those things, which I say very good. Obviously, you know, in a sense, it wasn't good because, in my opinion now, those were not correct viewpoints, the ones that I had. And I wish I would have been more open to where Molly was coming from, but I wasn't. And so, of course, we can't go back. But so I want to talk about the parenting side of it now, especially as our kids are getting older, you know, now that our oldest is fixing to be 8. And, you know, so we're thinking a lot about those types of issues because my opinion has changed entirely on those topics I mentioned at the beginning, you know, dating and premarital sex and homosexuality and gender and even racism, and I'll explain what I mean by that and the topic of parenting, climate change, creationism versus evolution, and those sorts of things. My opinion on those things have changed entirely, and so we've had a lot of talks about that. And so I want to just kind of talk about how we navigate that as a multi-belief couple and multi-belief parents. You know, I think for you, it's a lot easier because, in a sense, because you're not having to deal with the fundamental side of it now, would you say? I mean, like,
mm-hmm.
that I feel like that in a way that's somewhat relieved a lot of pressure because I was very specific and obviously now I'm a lot more open to a lot more things. And so would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
So when it comes to like dating, one of the things I heard as a Christian, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but remembering what in the world is that? Courtship.
Yeah, like the Duggars do.
Right. Well, yeah, so you've heard of it.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
But I mean, but like at the time that you and I met, the Duggars weren't really a thing that I don't
no,
think back
I'd
then. 2008. Man, 10 years married. 2008 was a long time ago. Right. So I, you know, I knew that term. I knew the term courtship, but you didn't. And courtship is a very fundamental term. And so to me, dating is completely normal. All that I would say about it, just where I'm at, is, and I'm going to share this with you. Of course, Molly and I got married. She was 18. I was 21. It's turned out okay for us. We've had our fair share of issues, and we've been, you know, dealing with our...
Definitely not perfect by any means.
No, we've definitely dealt with our own marital issues and everything. But even in that, okay, see, because a relationship can happen without marriage, and that's something that where I've kind of come around to because... And so then this kind of goes into premarital sex in the sense that a lot of times in the church, especially for me in the fundamental church, it was like, you know, once you get to a certain point in a relationship and it's going to get to the point of becoming a sexual relationship, in the fundamentals, you know, view, it's like that's the time to get married because you do not have sex outside of marriage. That's a not okay thing. You know, I remember, you know, a lot of my friends who were also in that type of home, fundamentalist belief home, you know, I mean, you didn't want to be caught with any type of contraceptive. You wouldn't have felt comfortable going to your mom and asking to be taken to the doctor to get put on some birth control because abstinence was what was preached. And I now very strongly feel as though that is a dangerous message. I truly feel like it's a dangerous message. There is a high prevalence of STDs amongst youth. There is a high prevalence of teenage pregnancies that are unintended. And a lot of times, in my opinion, those come out of this idea that you can actually convince a, you know, 15, 16-year-old with raging hormones not to experiment in those things and explore those things. And obviously, you can encourage them all day long, right, to not do those things, but it's very hard to prevent.
A teenage boy is really not going to listen to his parents if he's, like, in love. Like you said, the raging hormone thing.
Right, exactly. So then what I think happens with the lack of contraceptive promotion, and so abstinence, then they get in that situation where, okay, now it's the heat of the moment. Well, they don't have a condom on them, or, you know, the girl's not on birth control. You know, she doesn't have any contraceptive, and the guy doesn't have any contraceptive, because you don't do that. You shouldn't be. And in that moment, it's kind of hard to pull back from it, and that's where mistakes happen. And so I fully support that. I think you do. As far as contraceptive
mm-hmm.
use,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to be encouraging my kid to go out and have sex at 15.
Absolutely not. No.
You know, but I want them to know that it's not that we are a safe place to come talk to about those things. That we're not going to judge them for those things, and that we are here to help them through those things. And that our biggest concern would be their safety. And obviously for our daughter, we would definitely be preventing pregnancy, you know, at a young age, because that's not going to be good for her or the baby or anybody. Okay, so on the topic of homosexuality, and we're getting low on time here, but on the topic of homosexuality, we've already kind of touched on it a little bit, so I'll just kind of run through that real quick, and then I'll bring gender into that as well. You know, my opinions on that have changed a lot. As I shared with you earlier, and so I've kind of already touched on it, but, you know, Molly's concerned, so just correct me if I'm wrong, but is that, you know, our kids can be judged for that. You know, it's still not a welcoming environment for someone who is of a different, you know, if they're not normal as society would have it, being in a heterosexual relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then on racism, real quick, we're really running low on time, so let me just run through this stuff. On racism, what I'm talking about is interracial relationships. And so I know that Molly and I don't have a problem with that. As a fundamentalist growing up, I had this thought that even biblically, and I don't have the time to talk about it, unfortunately, but I had a thought, you know, from a biblical perspective that it was not okay to be in an interracial relationship. On climate change, creationism versus evolution, those sorts of things, I think it's just about letting go of that fundamental thought. Because whenever you believe that the Bible is completely inerrant and infallible, and like I said, stay tuned tomorrow night, I'm going to do a podcast on that and what that's about. But when you believe that, you have a hard time letting those things, science, answer those questions for you because you want the Bible to answer those questions. We run out of time, guys. I really appreciate you listening in. I hope that you've enjoyed the show. Like I said, listen back in tomorrow night. We will be talking about, or I will be talking about, Mark's looking like, hey, my job's done. Parenting's over with. So, all right, appreciate it. Molly, go ahead and say bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Appreciate it, guys. I hope y'all enjoyed the show. Y'all have a good night. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.